Good morning and a very warm welcome to all those who are joining with us for this online service for Palm Sunday, led by our Minister Claire and recorded by our organist and choir master Ian Laurie. Kevin Watson, the moderator of Yorkshire Synod, was to have led our worship this morning, but sadly this hasn't proved possible due to the restrictions imposed by the coronavirus epidemic. We are, however, grateful to Kevin for supplying some of the material for this morning's service. I would like to say a big thank you to all those who are continuing to contribute to our Lent appeal, and to those members of the congregation who have changed the way in which they make their offering, thereby helping to safeguard the financial stability of the church. Sadly, there are no notices, as all church-related activities have had to be cancelled. But there will be a similar online service for Easter Sunday next week.
The Lent Liturgy for Palm Sunday. As we follow our Lord through the events of his Passion, we remember today how he entered Jerusalem while the crowds cheered him and laid palm branches on his way. We have a palm branch laid by the cross in the Headingley Church Sanctuary. Ride on in majesty. Hark, all the tribes, Hosanna cry. Thine humble beast pursues his road, with palms and scattered garments strode. Ride on in majesty. In lowly pomp, ride on to die. O Christ, thy triumphs now begin, o'er captive death and conquered sin. The glory of God shines like a consuming fire.
We have seen the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ.
The voice of God thunders like a mighty storm.
Out of the cloud God speaks, "This is my beloved Son, listen to him."
Let us pray the prayer of Caedmon. Now we must honour the guardian of heaven, the might of the architect and his purpose, the work of the Father of glory, as he, the eternal Lord, established the beginning of wonders. He first created for the children of earth, heaven as a roof, the holy creator, then the guardian of humankind, the eternal Lord, afterwards appointed the middle earth, the lands for us all, the Lord Almighty. And a prayer of confession. God alone is righteous. God alone is perfect. God alone is judge. Yet this holy, righteous God comes to us in love, to save us. Rejoicing in God's grace, let us confess our sin.
God of all glory, beauty and grace, we have tried to hide from you, to hide our faces, to hide our sin. Yet you have never hidden your love for us. We have tried to search for you in temples, in clouds, on mountaintops. Yet you have already revealed yourself to us in the face of Jesus Christ. Forgive us and transform us so that our lives may shine with your glory, beauty and grace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
We hear the declaration of forgiveness. Our God comes and does not keep silence. God speaks to us with grace and love, saying, "You are my beloved child." This is the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven.
Thanks be to God.
Our first reading is Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 to 11, read to us by Elsa Jarvis.
As Jesus and his disciples approached Jerusalem, they came to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives. There Jesus sent two of the disciples on ahead with these instructions: Go to the village there ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied up with her colt beside her. Untie them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything, tell him, the master needs them, and then he will let them go at once. This happened in order to make what the prophet had said come true. Tell the city of Zion, look, your king is coming to you. He is humble and rides on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey. So the disciples went and did what Jesus had told them to do. They brought the donkey and the colt, threw on their cloaks over them, and Jesus got on. A large crowd of people spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds walking in front of Jesus and those walking behind began to shout, "Praise to David's son! God bless him who comes in the name of the Lord. Praise God!" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was thrown into an uproar. "Who is he?" the people asked. "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee," the crowds answered.
Our second reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 to 31. And it's read to us by Ian Henderson.
For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, "I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the cleverness of the clever I will thwart." Where is the wise man? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since, in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs, and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For consider your call, brethren. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. He is the source of your life in Christ Jesus, whom God made our wisdom, our righteousness, and sanctification and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let him who boasts, boast of the Lord.
It is a privilege that I can share my thoughts with you about today's passages. It is also a sadness that I can't be with you. It was only a few weeks ago, on Ash Wednesday, that I read how Jesus warned his followers that he must go to Jerusalem. There he would be arrested and he would be killed. And he says to the disciples, "Follow me, pick up your cross." And I heard one brave disciple, Thomas, say, not only for himself, but all of them, "Let us go with him, and may we die with him." I also heard a voice inside me challenging my own confidence and courage and commitment. Will I go with Jesus? Where will it lead? Who am I going with? Just after Ash Wednesday, we went for a walk, something that is now a great luxury. We were able to go to Nostell Priory, which isn't too far from where we live in Wakefield. And in the priory, there is a painting by Peter Bruegel called Procession to Calvary. And there is a picture of Jesus carrying his cross through Jerusalem and hemmed in by a jostling crowd. There is my answer. That's where we're going. To Calvary. And these are the people that we're going with. People, if you look at the painting, they're clearly not all religious, clever, respectable, moneyed people in authority or power, but a motley crew of humanity going about their everyday business, almost not noticing that there is God on his way to die for them. And like any painting of its time, actually Bruegel never been to Jerusalem. He isn't painting Jerusalem. It tells more about the town that he was living in and the people that he knew, maybe painting in very much his neighbours, his friends. And that says something to us. For if it was painted today, it would be Leeds. Not these weeks, but in normal times, the jostling crowds going about their business while God saves the world. A journey. And now we have reached Palm Sunday, soon Good Friday, and I will be challenged again. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Did I follow him on his journey towards Jerusalem? How far did I get? Was I able to get with him? How brave was I to follow him and carry my cross? And I have to shout out that confession. No, I wasn't there. If I'm trying to be smug and clever, I'll say, well, of course I couldn't be there. It was 2,000 years ago. If I had been there, I would have joined the others in the inevitable betrayal, fear, and struggle, hiding away. For whenever we are overwhelmed by our own guilt for what we have done wrong, our own confusion, not knowing what to do, or our own pain, then we want to hide away. It's part of human DNA. It started with Adam and Eve. They felt so naked, so frightened, so alone, they hid away. But there is something else within human DNA. As our hearts cry out, is there anyone there to help me? That is how many are feeling today, having been forced to hide away for fear of becoming ill, confused and worried about their jobs, their families, and all of us on a journey into an unknown wilderness of what's going to happen next. How are we going to be human beings living together in community? How are we going to be the church again? And into that cave, like Elijah before me, I hear the still small whisper of God saying, come unto me and rest. Because I think the first call upon God is not to follow him. But the first call of God is to receive his love, to know God is there with us. This is what Jesus came to do, to show us God loves us, to show us what that love is and what it means for us, and to give himself completely to see the power of God's love at work, redeeming the world. This is the good news. The good news that we all need to hear and we all need to know, and how many at this time are crying out to hear it. As we come to the cross, if we can get near enough to hear the words of Jesus on the cross, you will hear very human words. Words of a human being grappling with thirst and forgiveness. And I believe in these words, we will also hear the voice of God and see God more clearly than ever before. And this is the nonsense. This is the foolishness. This is what cannot be explained by science or philosophy. Paul writes, where is the one who is wise? Where's the scribe? Where's the debater of the age? Theologians have argued for 2,000 years with Jesus' words on the cross and about the meaning of his death. Well, I'm going to say something which you probably switch off at this point and think, well, who's he talking? I actually haven't a clue what is happening on the cross. And yet, as all the followers of Jesus for 2,000 years have been able to say, I cry out, Amen. Amen. To his death and his resurrection, as we walk with the risen Lord. As one person said to me only recently, it's all in your heart now. Because it's a message of love, it is received in relationship with God and now in relationship with all our brothers and sisters. That's what is put right. This is what I believe God will do with this awful time of being isolated and having to rethink our politics, our way of community, is to put it right that once again God at the heart of love and of our relationships. Then we see that God has never stopped loving us. We are at one with God. We always were, and we've always been sisters and brothers together, needing help to support each other. In a play called God on Trial, Holocaust sufferers, Jewish people, put God on trial. And the rabbi's closing words even challenges the assumption that God is on their side. The play is based on the true story of one Holocaust survivor, Eli Weissel. But his own conclusion, I think, is more powerful. In a concentration camp, they were forced to watch the guards hang a child. And someone next to him said, for God's sake, where is God? And Eli Weissel says it was a voice within inside him said, where is he? This is where. Hanging here from the gallows. On the cross, staring us in the face like a mirror on the world, is the power of all the self-arraigned sin, selfishness, self-centeredness, arraigned against God and against our fellow human beings. This is the world that we live in, the lie that we have been sold, the things that we strive for and believe in. We go on and on wanting more power, more money, more self,
more luxury, more satisfaction, until ultimately we kill God. That is sin. And when we kill God, we kill the essence of God's love that is in each of us. Is that all we see when we look at the cross? An innocent man executed because we live in a sinful world? But what does it mean if there is also the presence of God? In every sense, when Jesus says it is finished, it is finished. It is finished, our journey, our search for God. It is finished, all that he meant to do and that he came to do, to reclaim the world as God's, not belonging to the evil one. It is finished. Our understanding of God, in any sense, being all-powerful, up in heaven, ruling omnipotently, distantly, that's all gone. For this is the power of God's love. Not only now imminent with us, in our lives, in our hearts, but transcendent, redemptive, changing us, changing the world into the kingdom of God, the kingdom of love, with grace, humility, and trust of the living God. It was Ash Wednesday some years ago that we met together in Dewsbury in my home church, Long Causeway. The right-wing nationalist people had been spouting their hatred through Dewsbury, and we decided as Christians, people of other faiths and people of none, to meet together on Ash Wednesday to show that we are the people of God and live together no matter our differences and our diversity. Muslims started off in their mosque. Others started off at the town hall. Anglicans started from the minster. And we all met together on the steps of the town hall. And there we had prayers. There were young, there were old. It was that motley crew of humanity, made more motley because it was snowing and we all had our hoods up and cowering against the storm. We met in defiance of the weather. We met in defiance of the racist crowd. And we paraded in triumph. And during our prayers, these were heartfelt prayers, honest prayers, a moment came when I sensed Jesus as though he was carrying his cross through our crowd. And with that same request, will you follow me? We then ashed everyone, using the ash from the palm crosses of the previous year. I don't know where theologically this stands, how valid, or what it means, but we ashed Muslims with the crescent of the Muslim faith on their brow, Christians with the cross, Hindus and others from the East, we put the spot of ash to represent belonging to community, and so others asked for that who had no faith. We were proclaiming we are one in humanity, and that the sacrifice of Jesus Christ has changed things that will never be the same again. We are now brothers and sisters together, and we will face the storm of life together in the power of God's love in Jesus. On the cross, we have solidarity with God and each other. So let Jesus invite us this Easter to follow him, even though we may not leave our homes, to join sisters and brothers across the world, but now not a procession to Calvary, for then it is a procession from Calvary, and you will come face to face with yourself.
your sins forgiven, your worries abated, your confusion, you'll find peace. And you'll find many other amazing people held together by that love of God, drawing us now ever out into the world that God loves. Oh yes, the crucifixion I hid away, but in that I can pray that indeed boast that God's weakness is stronger than human strength. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? No. But it still causes me to tremble. And I pray that on Easter Sunday, God will help us rise on trembling knees and to begin our walk with him, the walk of faith together. May God bless you all this Easter time. Amen.
All my hope on God is founded. He doth still my trust in you. Me through change and chance he guided. Only good and only true. God unknown, he alone calls my heart to be his own. Human pride and earthly glory, sword and crown betray his trust. What with care and toil he buildeth, tower and temple all to dust. But God's power, hour by hour, is my temple and my tower. God's great goodness I endureth. Deep is wisdom passing thought. Splendor, light, and life attend him. Beauty springeth out of naught. Evermore from his store, newborn worlds rise and adore. Daily doth the Almighty Giver bounteous gifts on us bestow. His desire our soul delighteth. Pleasure leads us where we go. Love doth stand at his hand. Joy doth wait on his command. Still from earth to God eternal, sacrifice of praise be done. High above all praise is pleasing, for the gift of Christ his Son. Christ doth call one and all, ye who follow shall not fall.
We now come to a time of prayer, prayers for the world, led by Margaret Brownjohn.
Prayers for the world. Mighty and merciful one, you have come to us in glory. Now we come to you in prayer, saying, Lord, by your Spirit,
grant what we ask.
Holy and mighty God, gather us among your faithful ones, the people of your covenant, to stand in the light of your glory and listen for the word of the Lord, Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Lord, by your Spirit, grant what we ask. Speak to us, O Lord our God, and let the fire of your Spirit burn brightly in our hearts. Open our minds to receive the wisdom of the law, the hope of the prophets, and the life of the gospel, Jesus Christ, your living word. Lord, by your Spirit, grant what we ask. We pray for your glorious creation. Stamp out fires of destruction, drive away clouds of pollution, and restore the beauty of this world. Lord, by your Spirit, grant what we ask. We pray for the body of Christ. Open our hearts in faith, enlighten our minds with knowledge, and strengthen us to proclaim the gospel. Lord, by your Spirit, grant what we ask. We pray for the people of all nations. Show the nations your vision of justice. Offer the leaders your mantle of wisdom, and give the people your blessing of peace. Lord, by your Spirit, grant what we ask. We pray for those who are perishing. Feed those who are starving. Comfort those who are suffering, and receive the dying into your arms. Lord, by your Spirit, grant what we ask. We pray for those whom we love. Bless our families, friends, and neighbours. Help them in times of trouble, and be near when they are afraid. Lord, by your Spirit, grant what we ask. Holy One, make us ready for the day when this world is transfigured, transformed, made new, when all things will shine in the dazzling light of your glory. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Now go and tell the good news. The Lord of life and light is with us. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead.
Amen.
The very face of God shines upon you with beauty, blessing, and peace.
Alleluia.
We say the grace together.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore.
Amen.